Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:13, that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is October 27th. And today really was a day where there was a lot of movement in a lot of markets. The big news was the move in yields, and it's not just Treasury yields, but it was bunds, JGBs, and UK gilts. So just to give you a rundown, perhaps the most important charts are the yield charts. I've posted them all in comment of the day today. So when you look at them, there is quite compelling commonality that bund yields have broken their medium-term downtrend. So have gilts, JGBs not quite yet, but so have treasuries. The only ones that are relatively resistant are TIPS, or inflation-protected bonds in the UK. And of course, that is because their yield is at least protected partially by the fact that their coupon would rise if inflationary pressures rise. And that is what the bond market is beginning to price in, and not least because we've gone through a period of synchronized global monetary expansion, and we're still in a period of extraordinary monetary expansion with the exception of the Federal Reserve, but that isn't to say, of course, that they have reduced the size of their balance sheet. They're simply just rolling it on. But the big question is, are we going to move into a period of synchronized global fiscal expansion? And that is probably going to set us up for some big questions at some point next year. Because if central banks are raising rates into they could potentially be viewed as running counter to the ambitions of politicians by having a fiscal stimulus. Not least since it has been the central bankers themselves have been telling the politicians that they need to row in behind the central bank and help to support their monetary stimulus with reforms in terms of regulation and the economy, and also perhaps some fiscal stimulus. So the central bank then is going to be in a rather difficult position, because it could be contradicting its own advice if it starts raising rates in an aggressive manner next year. And of course, that is particularly applicable for the Fed. But the ECB and the Bank of Japan have also expressed reticence with the potential for adding even more additional purchases. But I think it was the words of the governor of the Riksbank in Sweden today really did highlight just how complacent central bankers are. I saw a chart today, and it was basically that the Fed in its last meeting didn't discuss the risk in the financial sector at all at their last meeting, when the meeting minutes were scrutinized. And the comments of the Riksbank governor to the effect that, yes, there is a bubble developing in the housing market, and we have consumer debt at record levels, and well, that's not really part of our purview. All we're interested in is inflation. So they're talking and acting in order to get the currency down. And then when you look at the dollar index, little wonder that it is firm. When the UK is among the countries that is really most keen to have a weaker currency, and the pound was down by 76 ticks today. So it's a very tight range, and they don't really want to see it higher than 125, it looks like. So then you look at the Swedish krona, and it's breaking down. It has been ranging for over a year. This is a very clear downward break. When you look at it over the medium term, or perhaps even the longer term, then it hasn't spent very much time weaker than this historically, but they certainly need a weaker currency. The Japanese definitely need a weaker currency, and today the yen is trading weaker than 105. So therefore the dollar is breaking upwards against the yen. Now, that would suggest that we are at least going to have a somewhat swifter process of mean reversion. It will need to hold above the 105 level to really signal to the market that the yen is going to weaken additionally from here. What we could be witnessing, perhaps, is that the transition away from negative yields that has been such a factor in the fixed income markets this year. What that is certainly what we're starting to see, at least in the bond markets and potentially in the currency markets, that the trends that drove yields to extraordinary lows and the respective currencies of Japan and the Eurozone to really quite firm levels may indeed be reversing, and not least because of the potential for inflation to start coming through. And of course, why would inflation start coming through? Well, obviously, asset price inflation has been a factor in these markets for the foreseeable, at least the last few years. We have stocks at record highs. We have bonds at record highs, and at least in the areas that are desirable, then property prices are at record highs. So, this has been a simultaneous inflation of asset prices. It's not really something that we've previously seen, at least not in the last 20 or 30 years. So now here is the big question. Since all of these asset prices are inflated at the same time, can we now see a divergence? Can stock prices continue to hold their gains while bond prices fall? The reason for that might be that profit growth starts to return. That was one of the reasons that investors were willing to pay record prices for Wall Street over the last few months, because they were willing to bet that profit growth would come in ahead of expectations. Well, that was certainly the case with Tesla yesterday and with Google today. And it's going to be really quite instructive what happens with Amazon tomorrow. But when we think about that, then we've been through a very difficult period of consolidation for the economy generally. The US is certainly leading in terms of its recovery. Wage growth is picking up. And part of the reason, of course, for that is because the cost of living has risen really quite acutely over the last few years in particular, and not least because of healthcare and education prices. So, considering that there are 50% of the US population, which is upwards of 180 million people, are getting by on $30,000 or less a year, the cost of education and healthcare is a significant burden, and that is helping to drive wage growth, or at least demands for higher wages. And it's something that I don't think we've seen a lot of commentary on, but also that producer prices in China just 10 days ago have started to increase once more. That generally would suggest that Chinese economic growth should pick up, but more importantly, it means that the deflation that China has been exporting for the last 8 quarters has perhaps come to an end. And that could also represent inflationary pressure. If bond yields are rising and central banks really do want weaker currencies, the US dollar is strong because the currencies against which it is compared are weak. But then what about the potential for a fiscal spending bump in the US? Surely that could not be particularly bullish for the dollar. Therefore, if every country is looking for a weaker currency, then the allure of a monetary metal that cannot simply be lent into existence is likely to be burnished. And we are at a rather interesting period in time for the precious metals, because gold is at the region of the 200-day moving average, and it was a little bit firmer in here today, but certainly not in a dynamic fashion. Silver was pretty much unchanged. Platinum also pretty much unchanged, but it couldn't really hold its rally intraday. They really do need to push on from here to confirm that demand is returning to dominance. And the move upwards in yields, it could potentially be that kind of catalyst. Certainly the time that gold does best is when people are worried about the integrity of the currency that their savings are in. And when you have so many central banks engaged in rather nefarious activities from the perspective of an Austrian economist, then the the allure of gold is potentially important here. Oil prices were a little bit firmer in here today. They are not quite trading back above $50, but they're pretty close. That was certainly for WTI, and Brent is trading back above $50. It bounced from just below it in here today. When we look at the continuous commodity index, it has also been really quite firm, and we are definitely seeing that some of the most oversold commodities like lean hogs and feeder cattle have fallen an awful long way, and they got some respite in here today. Coffee prices, which have been among the relative strength leaders, continue to hit new highs. And the industrial metals generally are firming. There is we've definitely seen relative strength in tin and lead, but copper has really not done much of anything. And it does have this triangular pattern overall, and it potentially represents a type 2 bottom. And we know that a type 2 bottom from the chart seminar is resolved by a massive reaction against the prevailing downtrend. So that is potentially a market to keep quite a close eye on. Certainly, when we look at stocks, Wall Street has been very inert just about all month. And we know that these tight ranges do not last in perpetuity. When the breakout comes, it's likely to be surprising because we have been inured into accepting that it is a very inert environment overall. Then, when we look at Europe, the euro-denominated parts of Europe have all been reasonably steady in here, and they're all pretty much trading in the region either of the upper side of their short-term ranges or just below their 200-day moving averages. Additional euro weakness would likely see those indices breaking out on the upside. The Nikkei has already broken upwards, and it was up another 100 points in here today, and it is being led higher by the second section index. Perhaps one of the things that is most comforting is that the banking sectors overall, and that is true of the US as it is of the UK or as of Europe, they are all bouncing in here. They are reacting to the potential that we are going to have a somewhat higher interest rates, that they might actually be able to make some money. And that is good news, despite the fact that I don't think that there is a banking sector in the world doesn't have a rather ambivalent attitude, or that most investors aren't taking an ambivalent attitude towards them. But they are liquidity providers, and we need healthy banking sectors in order for them to fulfill their role as liquidity providers. So that is really quite positive overall. But this is a pivotal time, because if bond yields are going to rise, then we could get a divergence with the performance of stocks, and we haven't had really a divergence since 2013. So then this is really a very pivotal time overall. If we do get economic growth and inflation picking up, then stocks should do better. The stock market is one of the better hedges against inflation overall, because companies have pricing power and the ability to raise their dividends. Then where we have this very rangy environment overall that could be resolved on the upside, and then we could be moving into another leg higher. So I think this is a particularly pivotal time to really keep an eye on the price action overall. And I think with that, I'm going to leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.